Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to continue talking about unity of the body, but God is He's doing it a little different way today. And if you need a title, the title is, It's Not Where I Fit, It's Where I Belong. Okay? Everyone say, It's Not Where I Fit,
It's Where I Belong.
Okay? And we're going to be obedient. Let's go to John 3. Because we're going to read John 3:16, and then I'm going to read John 13, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and spend a little bit of time there. Yeah, John 3:16? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 13, verse 34 and 35 out of the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Amen. We heard an example of that this morning. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read it, starting at verse 4. And then we're going to come back to a couple of things. It reads, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel. I'm in a Message translation. I apologize. Clear understanding. Simple trust. Healing the sick. Miraculous acts. Proclamation. Distinguishing between spirits. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. Say, God decides who gets what and when. Right? Verse 12. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in the word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of His resurrected body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, His Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave and free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. More significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body were all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're placed exactly where God wants you. Okay. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you're a part of. An enormous eye, every time I read that, I think of this movie I used to watch called A Crawling Eye. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. All right? But what we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. So we have to understand that. The body can't be unified if the parts are not in their proper place. Okay? So it's important that we understand we have a specific place within the body, and we're supposed to stay there and not move because we get tired of it. Or we believe that we've, quote unquote, paid our dues and now we deserve something different. Okay? No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out? That's why I like the Message Bible. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body, you're concerned with it. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Or any hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model. Listen to this. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, okay, Lord. He said the parts we mention and the parts we don't. Too many times we wind up talking to people and they say, well, you know I need to do what God told me to do. So what did he tell you to do? He told me to go and preach his word. But really, where? Where did he tell you to go and preach? You know, well, I guess it means he wants me to start a church. Did he say that? No, we want to get in front of the people and stand behind a pulpit. Because we hear about that. We don't hear about the custodial staff. We don't hear about that. We don't hear about the folks working out in the parking lot regardless of the weather. We don't hear about that. Try and get in and out of the lot in an orderly manner without them being in place. But we're coveting what we think are the glorious positions. And first of all, you don't have a clue as to what the price of that glorious position is, you don't have a clue as to what the responsibility that goes along with that so-called glorious position is, but all you know is that's what I want. That's where I believe I fit. But God didn't place you there. God placed you in a position where the people that are in what you consider to be the glorious positions can do effectively what they were called to do. Because you are in place. If there weren't, you know, we look down at maintenance people and, you know, mechanics and all these things, but yet and still, when your car doesn't start, okay, you don't go looking for a pastor, all right? You don't go looking for a prophet or an evangelist. You go looking for an auto mechanic, okay? And you want to find out, is it a good one, all right? Because your car needs to be repaired. And then when your car is repaired, you don't give thanks to God. You say, oh, thank you, I found a great mechanic. Yeah, I know, you should say thank you, Jesus. That's okay. All right. So we have to understand that God has placed us wherever he's placed us for a specific reason, and he's already told us what that reason is. To show who God is. And it's not just to do with your position in the church. It's your position, period. It's where you're working. It's where you're living. It's where you're living. Too many, we're trying to run away from neighborhoods God has placed us in because he wants us there. Let me go back to verse to show you something. Look at verse 18. I want to read this to you in the Amplified Bible. Then we want to show you something. Still in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, but it's an Amplified Bible. Reads, but as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit, and with the best adaptation. I started thinking about that. I said, I could understand it pleasing you, but I got to think about this adaptation thing. So I started looking up the definition, and I went to the Science Dictionary. Adaptation is a change in structure, function, or behavior by which a species or individual improves its chance of survival in a specific environment. Adaptations develop as the result of a natural selection. God has selected some, all of us, to be in specific places to bring about a change, to cause others to adapt to a Christ-centered life. So he's placed us where we would have the, where he believes we would have the most influence. But it's in a neighborhood I don't like. Well, it's not about you. It's about the people that you were put there to cause them to adapt, to change their behavior, to line up with what God has said. So we need to start thanking God for where he has placed us instead of fighting with him to get out. Did you ever stop to think that once the assignment is fulfilled and the neighborhood is changed, there's no reason for you to still be there? But we don't think about that. We just think about what we are going through. And we forget through. And we act like going through means being stuck. Going through means going through. But we have to understand that God has strategically placed every single member of the body of Christ where he feels they will do the most good. Who are we to say his choice was not good enough because we don't like our assignment? I didn't always like my assignment. And yes, I rebelled against some of them. You know the story. God said, join the youth department. I think I created the statement, ain't no way, Jose. And I said, no. I didn't know I was going to make some life-changing relationships with some great young people. I didn't know that. I didn't know God was going to use me to influence them. All I was going on was what I heard, just like some of you, what I heard about dealing with teenagers. See, I didn't deal with it with my teenagers because they were mine. Okay. And I had certain liberties. But yours? But that's where God had placed me. And so when I decided that instead of going with God's placement, I would become a host. Because this way I'm serving God. No, I really wasn't. I was serving me. Because I was doing what I wanted, and I was upsetting the unity in my household. Why? Because I was out of place. I was unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And the person I was unequally yoked to was me. Because I'm supposed to be a man of God, led by the Spirit of God, and now I'm in rebellion with who I am. I'm a mess waiting to happen wherever I go. Just because I don't think God's choice for me was good enough because I didn't like the fit. It's not that I didn't fit, I didn't like it. But I had to understand something. Just because it fits does not mean it's a match. It's a match. It may fit, and it may fit well. And the fit may feel good, but it's not a match. There are too many people stuck with someone, okay? Because just because the parts fit, you thought it was a match. And now you have a mess because you didn't wait and let God place you where he wanted you. Because wherever he wants you will be an absolutely perfect fit and match. Let me show you something. I have these two puzzles. Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
You're welcome,
Pastor. Okay. Now, remember the scripture told us that each one of us is given something to do that shows who God is. Okay? Now, when you look at these puzzles, make sure I have them right side, can you get a crystal clear definition of what they're trying to portray? But all the parts fit. Every single part fits perfectly, but you can't really see what the originator, the author, the creator is trying to convey because there's something about it that just doesn't look quite right. Yeah, well, some pieces are misplaced. Some pieces didn't like the part of the overall picture. So they decide to leave and fit in somewhere else. And so what the creator wanted to convey can't be conveyed because it's been misplaced, even though they fit. So what has to happen is that you see the resistance that comes? Okay? I'm telling you. Because when you have to uproot yourself because you've allowed yourself to fit in some place where God didn't put you, you have to work harder to get out. Okay? I mean, it's not easy. It's not smooth. Okay? And so by the time you force yourself to get out and you repent and you go back where you belong and you fit, you start appreciating it because you understand, you know something? This is where I belonged all along. Because now everybody can clearly see everything that the Creator wanted. And it now makes sense. And you can now develop a greater appreciation because you can see clearly what it is that you were looking at. And you say, oh, that makes sense. I like that. I mean, suppose this was your first time working with puzzles. And you're someone, you said, well, you know, I need to work on my patience and, you know, I need to stick with it. And okay, so I'll do this puzzle. But all the pieces are mixed up and you don't know it. And you get them all to fit and you look at it and you're like, I just spent 3 hours doing this. This is what this is all about. I don't need this. Well, that may be one thing when you're talking about puzzles, but we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about opening the door and letting them come in. And if they come in and everybody is not in the right place, they are not going to get the clear picture that God wants them to get about Him. They're going to see chaos. They're going to see a mess. And they're going to think that's what a life in Christ is. And we know that it is not. So it is paramount importance, folks, that we get this, that we understand that we've all been given something to do to show who God is. And we are the only, once you've been given that assignment, you're the only one really that can do it. I should say, you're the one God wants to do it. But God already knows whether or not you're going to do it. And He will give you every opportunity to do it, but it's limited. And you need to understand that. His mercy will give you a period of time to open your eyes and see, I put myself here. God really wants me over here. I'm the one that wanted to go over there. Father, I repent. I repent. I'm going back where I belong. And I'm staying here. If you refuse to do that, that window of opportunity is going to close for you. And God will raise up someone else. And you'll have to give an account for it. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say, you know, that you may find yourself out of the picture, but you keep hanging around outside of God's will, eventually you will be out of the picture because you'll be in a place that you have no grace to deal with. See, everything that we need to prosper where we were planted is in the command. If we didn't receive a command to go, where are my provisions? I have none. I have none. So that means I can't endure. I can't. I don't have the wisdom or the insight. The answers are not coming. And I'm getting frustrated. And I think that God has left me. Or I begin to think that this whole God stuff is just that. And it never was real. Why? Because I've misplaced myself. See, I have an iPad, have an iPhone, and while I don't ever plan on using it, it has a feature. It has a Find Me feature. where if I misplace it, I can log on, I can push a button, and there'll be a sound that will lead me to my iPad or my iPhone. Well, that's very good with iPhones and iPads, because it'll just keep making that sound until its battery goes down and I'll find it. It's similar spiritually. The Holy Ghost will keep letting you know that you need to locate yourself. You need to look and see where you are in comparison to where you are supposed to be. We need to see, have I strayed? You know, is God sending me in this direction, and I hear stop, and I stop, and I look around, and I say, hey, wait a minute, what am I doing over here? I'm supposed to be over here, going in this direction. Because if I keep going over here, I'm no longer in unity with the body. And I become dead weight. That's why I guess the Bible says if your left arm offends you, cut it off. Why? Because it's easier for me to go on with one arm than with two, and one of them's trying to hold on to what God is trying to take me away from. And so what is it? And that's the only question that you have to ask and only you can answer. What is it that you're holding on to that's not allowing you to get where God says you belong? And why won't you cut it off and go? And be placed, take the assignment that God has made for you so that you can show just who God really is. And so that the other people can adapt to that way of life. That's what we have to understand. That's what I had to understand. Find out where I am. See, how many of you really believe, your life depended on it, that God called you to be members here at Redeeming Love Christian Center? How many of you really believe that? Then you need to understand that He has called you to a place where people can come in and experience His love being evident. So if you're not about expressing His love, you're not getting with His program. And you're in rebellion to the reason that He sent you here. He sent you here for you to be demonstrators of God's love. Because He said, this is a place where His love is evident. He said, this is a place where His word is taught. So if you're not going to come here and speak His word, guess what? You're going to have to make a change, or you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go until you are willing to make the change and get with the plan that God has for you here. And don't go and say, oh, Pastor told me I had to leave. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, He sent you here because you're to be an example of His word being taught. Now, how can we be an example of His word being taught if we're not doing His word? He said, this is a place where His Spirit is directing. His Spirit. I don't go here. I'm going to say it. You know, sometimes you walk your way up to things. You know. God said, how can you be a demonstration of His Spirit, how His Spirit directs, if you won't take direction from who He's placed in charge? Definitely, anybody's welcome to come and examine my notes. It ain't in there. Okay? That was express mail. Okay, from God. This is a place where the Spirit of God is directing. One of the things, and Pastor Sarah can attest to it, even though she and Pastor Clinton were very gracious in anything they asked of us to do, me and Deacon Phyllis, they always said, you pray about it and see. And I would think, I thought about that, and I said, now wait a minute. God gave me pastors after his heart for me. Jesus gave me a gift, in my case, two gifts, whose responsibility was to train me for the work of whatever ministry God has called me to. And I got to pray as to whether or not I'm going to listen to him. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen anywhere in the scripture where God or his person called someone and they said, you know what? I got to pray about this one. And so what I was asked to do, since the Spirit of God is directing and they were the directors as such, my answer was like that song. My answer will be yes. Yes, I didn't know the moves God was going to do in my life. I didn't know. All I knew, he said, come here. Actually, no, he didn't say come here. Deacon Phyllis told me I need to come to church with her. And then when I came here, he said, stay here. Okay. And my attitude was, not that they were trying to drive me away, but my attitude was, I don't care what happens. Wild horses would leave before trying to pull me away. Okay, that was my attitude. I understood this is where I belong. So this is where I fit, even if the fit was a little uncomfortable at times. But even though it was uncomfortable, if God placed me where he wanted me, then there was something that I had to learn through the uncomfortableness. And it was up to me to learn it. You understand? Because he sent me to a place where his Spirit is directing. And he also said about this place that it is a place where God's power is in manifestation. Where his power. In order for God's power to be in manifestation, there has to be agreement so that the Spirit can move freely. Psalm 133 says it's good and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. And it ends by saying, for there, at that place of unity, God commanded. He didn't ask it. He commanded the blessing, life. So whatever manifestations take place here, it's to bring life. But it's dependent on unity. Unity. Unity of thought. What does that mean? That means you have to come here expecting to see manifestations of the power of God. Why? Because he said, this is a place where it's going to happen. And he sent you. You want to plant, make sure you are firmly planted. Firmly planted. Hurricane Sandy came through. Everything that wasn't firmly planted blew down. And some, when they fell, did a lot of damage. Why? Because they weren't firm. Their root systems couldn't handle the wind. Some of us, even though we know we've been planted, you know how it is, and now this is just an example. Okay, I'm not talking about anybody, and I certainly am not trying to belittle anybody. But when you get a child that doesn't want to eat something, what do? They sit there and they... so no matter what happens, you're trying to get it in, and the mouth is closed. Well, some of us have taken our roots and have folded them up so they can't go down deep because we don't plan on staying. We don't plan on staying. We're saying, and we keep looking for that one more thing, that one more assignment, that one more comment, that one more rule, and I'm out of here. Okay? And because you haven't let your roots grow down deep and you get yourself firmly planted, stuff is coming and you're being blown over. And you're wondering, what's going on? It could be you haven't accepted the place where you belong. And you're hoping that you can fit somewhere else. Well, the truth of that is you can, but you won't flourish. You won't prosper. You won't get all that you're supposed to get from God, and your supply will dry up because for you, it's not fertile ground. All around you will be prospering. And you'll think God has favorites. And you'll think that for whatever reason, God doesn't care about you. He does care about you. You just walked away from where your provisions were. It's no different than the prodigal son. He decided he wanted what was his now. Wasn't willing to wait until the appropriate time. He wanted his stuff now and he left. And something very interesting happened. His father didn't pull up his roots and go running around looking for him. His father said, I'm staying where I was planted. Yes, it hurts, but I'm staying where I am supposed to be. Because when he comes to his senses, he needs to know where I am. So he can come back. Father didn't cut off ties, didn't change his address, didn't change his email, didn't do any of those things, stayed and kept expecting that his son would come back. And his son came to himself and went back willing to be with the slave. No longer concerned about what's mine. Okay. Doesn't care anymore. Now it's like, I'm willing to be with the slaves. I don't deserve anything more than that. But what did his father do? Ran to meet him, embraced him, and completely restored him. Why? He came back. Allowed himself to be planted where he belonged. And he was able to flourish and to survive. Because your nutrients are in the soil that you're to be planted in. And if you don't stay where you are planted, you're not going to get what you need. Lord, somebody say hallelujah, because this is I'm trying to find all this stuff in here and it's not happening. Okay? It's not happening. Right? So it's not about where you fit in. Where you fit in is an act of your choice. But where you belong is an act of, is a choice of God. You have to decide which choice you want to go with. You want to go with yours, or do you want to go with God's? If you're going with God's, wherever he planted you, no matter what you're going through, you're going to keep doing what he told you to do. And it won't matter what you have to endure, because you know you're where God wants you. And you're going to have the impact that God wants you to have. And it doesn't matter how anything else boasts. You know. So it can come up. You have cancer. Nuh-uh. You may have shown your head. But my father is greater than that. Not only that, I'm residing in a place where his power is in manifestation. So as far as I'm concerned, and you do, you change your walk. You know, you don't walk tentatively no more. You strut around. You say, yeah, you going to stay here, you think? Okay. Say happy birthday. Say Merry Christmas, because the power of God has taken you out, buddy. Okay? Because I'm going to stay here and do everything that God told me that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to have the impact that I'm supposed to have on the people, and they're going to adapt to God's way of doing things just because I'm staying where He planted me, and I don't care what comes. It doesn't matter. If you can't, and things are going to come up. Like I told you before, no, I don't have the vertical leap I used to have. But that doesn't mean I can't reach high places.
All right.
I may do it a different route. But if I really needed to do it, and there was no other means, guess what? I just cock my legs and jump, and away I would go, because my Father needs me to be at a level, and it's up to Him to get me there, not me. So I don't think about what I can't do anymore. God planted me. He planted me. He fit me with this woman. He fit me. And together, He wants us to show what He's about concerning marriages. Now, either one of us could decide to try and go and fit somewhere else. What's that going to do to God's plan? First of all, we're no longer in unity. We can't be. And it'll affect the unity of this house. Because you'll immediately take sides. You will. Not knowing any of the details, you'll take sides. Those of you that like me, they'll take my side. Those of you that don't will take her side. Okay? Won't care what happens. That's what you get. Okay? Some will say, I knew it all the way they talk about old holding hands. I knew something was going to happen. You know. But that's why the enemy comes and tries to bring stuff. We have to be smart enough to realize it and do whatever it takes to get rid of it so that the unity stays in place. Because when the unity stays in place, the example of God is clear. And that's what's important, that the godly example is crystal clear so folks can adapt. If it's not clear, they're not going to ask us. Nobody's going to come up to you and you're in a raggedy marriage because you're not listening to God. They're not going to come up to you and say, how do you get to this place? Okay. I want a marriage like that one. No, they're not going to do that. Unless they're trying to find out what you did so they can avoid it. Okay. No, we've been called. Even those you're called to be husbands and wives. And yeah, there are benefits to that. But the purpose isn't the benefit. The purpose is that you can show who God is through your marriage, through your family, through your children. But everybody has to make a choice. Lord, help me finish this. Okay. Because He's taken me all over the place. Look at your neighbors and say this, please. Are you looking at them? Tell them, say, God has given you
something to do
that will show who He is. And He has placed and arranged you as He saw fit, thereby giving the world the best opportunity to adapt to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. He's done it.
All right.
Say, God did this.
All right.
I mentioned this earlier, but He told me to read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, the Amplified Bible. It's because of the way it says it. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them, or come under a different yoke with them. inconsistent with your faith. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Why do you think he said that? Because there's some other yokes out there that are not so easy. And if you become unequally yoked with them, your life is going to be rough. It's not going to be easy because you will be mismated. And that mismating will cause you, hear this, will cause you to become inconsistent with your faith. What kind of example will that be? When he has called this place to be a haven, if you will, that folks are going to come and be refreshed. They're going to see the truth. They're going to experience a manifestation. They're going to experience the love. They're going to appreciate the direction. But we have to all be in unity. All of us. I'm going to unhook. I'm going to share this verse. In Colossians 2. Verses 6 and 7. The Philip's New Testament. Apostle Paul said, actually in the Philip's it starts at verse 4. I write this to prevent you from being led astray by someone or others' attractive arguments. For though I am a long way away from you in body, in spirit I am by your side, watching like a proud father the solid steadfastness of your faith in Jesus Christ. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, go, listen to this. So go on living in him in simple faith. Grow out of him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in, becoming more and more sure of the faith as you were taught it, and your lives will overflow with joy and thankfulness. Let me read this to you. Okay, because we know it's what's in 1 Corinthians 15 about being steadfast, immovable, always abounding. I read this several years ago, and when I was sitting in my office, probably around just around 10 o'clock when church school was ending, this came up in my spirit. And this is an account, and that, you know, folks are still trying to figure out whether this is a true account or what they call an urban legend. But the point is the same. It was a battleship assigned to a training squadron and had been on sea maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. The person said, I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The captain called out. The lookout replied, steady, captain, which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called to the signalman, signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Signal came back, advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, send, I'm a captain, change course 20 degrees. I'm a seaman second class, came the reply. You'd better change course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious. He sped out, send, I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. The response came back, I'm a lighthouse. Captain said, we changed our course. Okay. Why did I share that with you? Because situations are going to come to try and get you to move from where you've been built, planted, fortified, and you've been placed there to give light, to give direction, to give guidance. And no matter what anything says, your position needs to be, I'm a lighthouse. I am steadfast. I am immovable. If any change is going to take place, it's going to have to be you, because I am fortified where I am planted. That's what we need to think.